Blog Talk Radio. This is Whirl with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Oh, Mallory is nearby, taking a catnap. But she may join me later. You never know. Well, what a show I've got today. It's just all last-minute stuff, and some not last-minute stuff. Well, let's we have a Producer-writer Ed Weinberger is taking his show, The Greatest Love Story Ever Told, on the road. And it's here in New York City. And the show stars Richard Roundtree and Clifton Davis. And Clifton Davis is going to come on and tell us all about the show. Then what has survived for a 30th anniversary? Gloria Gaynor's famous hit. And we'll hear about that. Gloria Gaynor will be calling in. And then it's back to Pasadena to talk about the Huntington Library and Gardens. And I'm going to talk about it with one of my fellow writers, Ed Nesoff, who was on the trip with me. That should be a hoot, because we're going to be matching wits, I have a feeling. In the meantime, while I'm waiting for our first caller, for Clifton to call, I have to, of course, have my first commercial and make you hungry. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale. Oh, yes, those brownies. By the way, that's Calbo. Anybody who doesn't know Calbo chocolates, they're like really great Belgian chocolates. And you can get these, by the way. I don't know if they're selling them in the stores, but you can go on to www.brownies.com to get these wonderful morsels. And especially if you're a chocoholic. Well, this is almost as good as just like having a chocolate bar. It really is. But anyway, we're having a lot of shows coming up here, Broadway, a lot of off-Broadway shows I'm going to see. And also, we'll be talking about Spa Week is coming up. And I'll be getting into that probably like next week. But Spa Week, to let you know, this is not a New York City thing. It's going all over the country, and I think even Toronto. You know, that foreign country in way upstate New York is participating as well. And what this is, Spa Week, April 14th through the 20th. These spas are going to offer two or three treatments that they have, each at $50 a piece. So if you wanted to, try out something, go for something like unusual that they have. If you go to spaweek.org, and I believe you have to like just kind of sign up for it. I guess they want to see like who's checking this out, and also you can get the up-to-date newsletters and stuff on the spas in your area or out of your area that you may even want to just, you know, as you're taking a trip. Next week, hopefully, I have somebody from a spa that I went to that is totally outrageous. But I'm going to have to save that for next week. And what I want to get to you is that when they talk about spas, they're not all spas, meaning that they don't all have like saunas and and things like that. Some they call them wellness centers if they're not spas. So for instance, like last week when I talked about getting the needles in the face, which is the acupuncture, that's not a spa. It's a wellness center. So that's what we're going to get in for next week. And I'm going to be going on the road. I'm going to take my show on the road myself. Next month, I'm going to Branson, Missouri. Heavens knows what. Going to be country music out, but hopefully, okay. I don't want to name drop, but I think I'm probably going to get Andy Williams calling in. That's right. Andy Williams has his own show in Branson. And at the same time, while I'm down there, it seems like at the Dick Clark Theater, they're having Bill Medley. That was one of the guys... yeah, you know who sang "You Are My Heart's Inspiration." Yeah, you know the brothers. Yeah, them. And I didn't drink. And then also I think Poor Vere and the Raiders is also going to be there. Maybe I'll get one of the Raiders on there. You know. And that kind of remind me of this joke. Well, it was a cartoon that I saw. This couple was kind of like making out, more than making out, behind a rock. And this was during when Paul Revere was riding by, and he's got his light and he's yelling, "The British are coming! The British are coming!" And needless to say, the two people I looked up. But anyway, so now let's see. I'm going to. Well, I'm still waiting for good old Cliffy to call. I don't want to get into this thing about some item that I had. Well, I'll start to talk about it. I could always tell you about it like a little later. Seasoned Skewers. It's a company. It's Callison's Fine Foods. What I will do, I'm trying to see if I can get this woman who actually came up with this idea. And honest to God, these things really, really work well. The skewers, like they're seasoned, meaning that I guess they have the oils of the seasoning in them. And what happens is you're taking these wooden skewers and you're putting it like into meat, chicken, fish. And so that instead of seasoning your food from the outside, you're seasoning your food from the inside. And to give you some idea, for instance, here's honey bourbon. Yeah, here's a honey bourbon. Perfect marriage of honey and bourbon. And there's citrus rosemary, Thai coconut lime, And this one has, it says, a tropical blend of coconut, ginger, lemongrass, red pepper, and kaffir lime. I've tried that one. I've tried the honey bourbon, the citrus one. I've tried these three. Indian mango curry, which is not my style. I don't particularly like curry, but this one has spices of cardamom and curry. And there's a Mexican fiesta that's smoked chili pepper, coriander, cumin, and lime. There's one garlic herb. There's garlic, basil, lemon, and chives. Ginger mango, which is mango and ginger. Yeah, just surprised. hickory barbecue. And hickory barbecue has a full, bold hickory wood smoke flavor. And then there's another one that's a smoky barbecue that's supposed to add outdoor grill flavors to your dishes year-round. Now, the thing with these is that you can grill. I mean, you can, you know, put the skewers through, and I've done it through, so far I've done it through beef, lamb, and chicken, and even salmon. Yep, done this already. And I've pan-fried it. So you have to wait. What you're doing is you're marinating it, sort of. You're letting it, like, be in there for, like, 15 minutes, and that's it. And that's all you have to do. And then you just cook it up. And as I said, I've had it, I tried it in two areas. One area I did it just in a pan, and then I was trying this out in a pressure cooker. And what I haven't done, I mean, I've done it in terms of chicken with little, like, chunks of chicken. But you can actually take these and put it, like, right into a whole chicken and broil the chicken. And the great part about that is usually because when you're seasoning the chicken, you wind up having the outside, the skin, having all of the seasonings. And then, you know, inside, you kind of like, well, keep dipping it into the juices to get the seasoning. And they also have, for fruit, too, you want to make, like, fruit kebabs. They have two of them. One of them is a tropical flavor, and the other one is cinnamon. I would imagine the cinnamon would be great, like, through apples, you know. I'm going to try that, and then cooking them, putting them through apples and cooking them. That must taste, you know. And the other one, the tropical, just a tropical splash. I haven't tried. I haven't done the fruit, so I can't report back the fruit. They also have seasoned salts as well. This way you have the seasoning because they said that sometimes, or a lot of times, people will still want to season, you know, with salt afterwards because it's not, none of them are salty. So let's see if I could, www.callisonsfinefoods.com. I'll spell that. It's. I know you're all going to, like, drop whatever you do and grab a piece of paper and a pen. Wait. I'll wait. Wait. I'll wait. It's okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Da-da-da-da. Do you have it yet? No. Got it? Okay, good. Thank goodness. I didn't want to really have to sing that song. Okay, it's spelled CALLISONS, fine, FINE, foods, FOODS.com. So it's www.callisonsfinefoods.com. Okay, so that's one of the products that I wanted to kind of get out there. I don't know what's happening. Cliff's not calling in. I sure hope this is going to be one of the evenings that I'm going to have a problem and no one's going to get through. You know, the hard part is I have my friend Barbara. You should listen to it. She tunes in and she listens to it, and I don't see anybody on my switchboard. So, it, you know, that scares me here, you know. Listen, you know, I can just chat it up about nothing. I guess I'll have to, the time for, I have to tell a joke, I guess. What a thing to have to do. I had to have fun. People are emailing me jokes. That's a good thing. This one here, I got this thing and it says, must be read with Italian accent. Okay. All right, let's see. Let's try it. Okay. Mm-hmm. One day, I'm going to Detroit to a bigger hotel. In the morning, I go down to eat breakfast. I tell the waitress I want a 2 pieces toast. She bring me only 1 piece. I tell her I want a 2 piece on my plate. She says, you better no piss on your plate, you son of a bitch. I don't even know the lady, and she called me a son of a bitch. Later, I go out to eat at the bigger restaurant. The waitress brings me a spoon and knife, but no fuck. I tell her I want to fuck. She tells me everyone want to fuck. I tell her, you don't understand. I want to fuck you on the table. She say, you better not fuck on the table, you son of a bitch. So I go back to my room in a hotel, and there is no shits on my bed. I call the manager. I tell her, I want to shit. He tell me, go to the toilet. I say, you don't understand. I want to shit into the bed. He say, you better not shit on the bed, you son of a bitch. I go to checkout, and the man at the desk say, piss to you. I say, piss on you too, you son of a bitch. I gonna go back to Italy. Keep those cards and letters coming in. Oh, goodness gracious, you just never know. Oh, goodness. So, let's see what's going on here. What I should do, I'll keep you upping on the thing with Igrot Kramini, right. So I've told you about it, and I'm starting to get the jokes coming in. I'm not sure what people perceive, but I'm still trying to find out, like, you know, where exactly that Igrot Kramini is supposed to be located, because of, you know, what between what they look like and, you know, and things like that. Let's see, I'm looking, I know that I had a whole, there was some jokes they got here. Yeah, I didn't expect to have to get online and try to find stuff. I was hoping everybody would just, you know, just call in and do their thing here. But, let's see. Well, all right. Let me, while I'm hunting for some of the jokes here, I'm going to go to, look at that. I'll go to a commercial.
As a dad, you'll probably spend years teaching your son how to hit a baseball, how to throw a tight spiral and hit a receiver, how to spring off a diving board and hit the water, how to hit a one wood and a nine iron, how to hit the bullseye, how to hit the strike zone, hit a jump shot, hit the open man, hit the hockey net, and maybe the most challenging of all, how to hit the books. But the question is this: how much time will you spend teaching him what not to hit? Teach your son early and often that all violence against women is wrong. For tips on what to say, visit endabuse.org. Brought to you by the Family Violence Prevention Fund, the Waite Institute for Violence Prevention, the Ad Council, and this station.
Okay. Oh, yes. So don't beat up on us. Since this is still Women's History Month, I thought I'd throw that in. Well, all right. As it turns out, I can't find the jokes right now. I know. So I'm just going to go have to do a scene from The Wizard of Oz. This is absolutely the oddest thing for me to do because it's the radio. And, of course, you're not going to be able to see my face, but it is me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a scene from Munchkin Land. Ooh. Are you a good witch or a bad witch? Oh, me? Why, I'm not a witch at all. I'm Dorothy Gale from Kansas. I am a witch. I'm Glitna, the good witch of the north, and these are my munchkins. It's all right. You can all come out and thank her. We represent the Lullaby League, the Lullaby League, the Lullaby League.
We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild. Man, this is the day for independence for all the munchkins and their descendants. Well, the joyous news be spread. The wicked witch at last is dead. Hooray!
Hooray!
Who killed my sister? Who killed the wicked witch of the east? Was it you?
Oh, me. I didn't mean to kill anybody. It was an accident.
Well, I can cause accidents, too.
Rubbish. You have no power here. Be gone before someone drops a house on you.
Very well. I'll bide my time, but just try and stand in my way. Just try. I'll get you, my little pretty, and your little dog, too.
Oh, Honey M, I'm so frightened I want to go home. Oh, Andy M.
Dorothy?
Oh, Honey M, how do we go home? How do I go back to Kansas? Just follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road?
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, 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 follow.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick road. We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz.
I'll tune in later for the rest. Well, somebody's probably trying to get in touch with me. I'm going to have to cut a commercial to take this call to find out who's having trouble calling in. So hang on.
This program is brought to you by M&S Italian Food Specialists, the official caterers for the crew of Lydia's Family Table, which can be seen on PBS. M&S is located at 34-23 Francis Lewis Boulevard in Bayside, Queens. There, you'll find over 100 different types of cheeses, store-made sausages, fresh meats, as well as great salads and sandwiches. Choose fully cooked items from the deli area, or just tell Joe what you're interested in preparing. M&S carries a full line of imported groceries for all your cooking needs. Call them at 718-353-8318. A family business for over 50 years.
To call in as I'm waiting right now, and that's a good idea. I'll have to call these people and, you know, why is it communication? Oh, yes. Okay, here he is right now.
Ah,
Clifton, you're on the air now.
Oh, thank you, Merle.
You're welcome. So I gave him a little introduction. So tell us about this show. By the way, I saw the show, just to let you know.
Did.
Yes, I did. I saw it Tuesday night, the opening.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
It was a hoot.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
So tell us a little about the show, or whatever you can.
Well, the show is, as you say, a hoot. It is a comedic look at a familiar story told by someone who doesn't know all the details, but who gets the general idea right. It asks and answers the question, what happens if Mary's parents were black? She came home and told her mother that she was pregnant, but she was still a virgin. It's the story of Mary and Joseph from a more human perspective, and it's a story within a story, actually, because the story is being told by someone who is not as familiar with the story as he should be. And so it is his version of Mary and Joseph. And it's a wonderful evening of theater with some incidental music and a couple of great songs and a wonderful cast that just makes for just a great evening in the theater. The cast includes Tatiana Ali and David Ramsey. Tatiana, of course, from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and David Ramsey from Good News, the television series. Also, Miguel Nunez Jr. from Sparks, and Life, the movie, and Juana Man. Miguel Nunez is wonderful in the play. Anna Maria Horsford is also a key role in this play. She, of course, played Selma on Amen, opposite me. And she is well known for the Wayans Brothers show. She's done a whole lot of other work, but she's spectacular in this show, and it's a real tour de force for her. Also, Richard Roundtree is a part of the show. He's, as you well know, from Shaft and so many other works, a regular for a while on Desperate Housewives and so many other shows, Heroes, etc. Let's see, Arif Kinchin completes the cast, and Guy Tori, one of the funniest comedians you ever want to see. You've seen him on BET and Def Comedy Jam and so many other things. He's just a wonderful actor and comedian.
So have you worked with Ed Weinberger before?
Yes, I have. He was the creator and executive producer of Amen.
Oh, look at that.
And so he brought in people that he's worked with on many of his sitcoms. In fact, he's the creator and producer, writer of everything from the Mary Tyler Moore Show to Taxi to Sparks to Good News to Amen to Alf. So many shows he's been associated with that when he called, I just said yes. You know, I looked at an opportunity to work with him as being just a golden opportunity. Also, getting to work again with Anna Maria Horsford, whom I had all those wonderful years with on Amen, and the actors that are also in the show that I've worked with before. So it's just terrific.
I thought it was a very funny show, especially, of course, with the, having a real live donkey on the stage can really.
Yeah.
Add to some humor.
Yeah, it does add to the humor factor.
Yes, certainly, especially that, well, we know the particular scene. I don't want to give it away.
Don't give it away.
No, I won't give it away. Well, I was rolling with that one. The show is being taken on the road, right?
Yes, we're in the midst of our tour. We're going to go on to other cities. We leave here. We're going in a couple of weeks. We're going to be in Philadelphia, and then we're going on a tour that will take us up to New Haven and Rochester and Detroit and Washington, D.C. and Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and we're looking forward to a wonderful, successful tour.
Yeah, that's great. I'm really glad to hear that. Well, you're going on in about half an hour, right?
I am indeed.
Okay. Are you all in makeup or ready to go?
I've got my makeup on, and I'm almost in wardrobe.
Okay. Well, I don't want to keep you too long.
Thank you, Merrill.
Yes, thank you for calling in.
Let me share with your listeners.
Sure.
They can go to our website, which is thegreatestlovestoryevertold.com, but it's not spelled out completely. It's the initials of our name. So you take the first letter of each word, TGLSET.com, the greatest love story ever told. Take the first letter and put them together, and that's our website, TGLSET.com.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put it in my description, the show description, so when the people, because this is going to be archived.
Okay.
And then when people go on and look to see the description of the show, they'll be able to get that information after listening to it as well.
Great.
So, great. And break a leg tonight.
Thank you.
And say hello to Carlene for me.
I will. I think she might be here tonight, too.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. Well, that I'm so glad Clifton called in. That was wonderful. The show. As I said, I won't give it away, but it's a hoot. The angle you have to get it from is, you know, as you said, it's like because it's the young man who's telling the story of Mary and Joseph. Is black, and so he's giving like his version of it, like what he thinks is, you know, real kind of going on. So it's really a cute show, worth seeing, definitely worth seeing. And so who do I wait? Oh, I'm waiting for Gloria Gaynor to be calling in. Let's see. Well, I have all of these people. Before Gloria Gaynor calls him, let's see. Let's do a piece. You want to do a little piece of music? I like Josh Groban. Let me play this until she calls in, and then I'll play her.
Darkness, I can see your light, and you will always shine, and I can feel your heart in mine. Your face I've memorized, I idolize just you. Everything you are, and I believe in you, although you never ask me to. I will remember you and what life put you
whether he's gay or not, but they play the song with the instructions. If you haven't seen the movie, you rent it. I mean, the movie is funny in itself, but this in particular, when the song "I Will Survive" comes on, is a riot, especially with the instructions going on. And so let's hear the song.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And so you're back, I'm out of faith. I just walked in to find you here with that bad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Oh, now go, walk out the door. You're not
Well, this is the old version of I Will Survive. Apparently, from what I'm getting, there's going to be a new version. It's this 30th anniversary version. Now, as far as Gloria, I think from what I remember, she might be like actually in a car driving on her way maybe to Miami to do her show, or to get ready for the show that's in Miami. I don't know what's happening here, but I have her. What I got was her CD. This is the Best of Gloria Gaynor. I was trying to figure, you know, it's funny. It's like when you hear a singer, like, you know, one song stands out, and then the brain goes, like, what else did she sing? What else is she singing? You know, so I'm just going to, the songs on here, on the on this particular CD, is Honeybee, Never Can Say Goodbye, which I understand she really made into a disco. Reach Out, I'll Be There. Casanova Brown, If You Want It, Do It Yourself. How High the Moon. Oh, I love that song, How High the Moon. Let's Make a Deal, Most of All. This Love Affair, Substitute, and Let Me Know, I Have a Right. And but there's a lot of, as I said, she's doing a lot of new songs. If for some reason she isn't able to call, and I have a song that's I guess on her new cut that I will play called He Gave Me Life. Now she's she's touring. She'll be in Miami. I guess if you go to it's the old Google, you know, Google Gloria Gaynor, and I'm sure you'll probably find GloriaGaynor.com. Anything is .com these days, you know, pickyournose.com, you know, whatever, you know, eatsomechinesefood.com, you know, hangoutinthestore.com, shopofthemalls.com, you know, anytime anybody asks me for information, I just tell them to, you know, go to .com, and they'll find it. I just have to tell you this. Right, I got to tell you this interesting thing that happened. I was watching Deal or No Deal this past week. Well, actually, one of my friends called me up and said, "Meryl, turn on Deal or No Deal," and I turned it on, and it was Linda Gerard. And Linda Gerard is I don't know if she still sings, but she was a singer. Right now, I think she's a night manager of a restaurant at a casino. I don't remember the name of the casino that's in Palm Springs. But anyway, so Linda was a singer, and back in 1976, I was her opening act. And actually, I did the scenes from The Wizard of Oz. In the opening act. So it was so weird seeing her after all these years, but what really killed me, she had, if you saw it, she had her twins come on. And, you know, I looked at them, and at the time when I met the twins are like all of, 14 years old at the time, you know? So, you know, when I see the 43 years old, you know, it's kids make you older. That, you know, definitely kids make you feel a lot older than you are. Anyway, I'm not sure. Let me just see who I have. I have a caller, but I don't know. This is a 516 number. Let's see who this is. Who do I have calling in?
We have Gloria Gaynor calling in.
Oh, at a 516 number. That's so funny. Because
yes, we're trying to trick you.
That's so funny because 516, of course, is Long Island.
I know. I'm from Long Island. I'm Gloria's assistant.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Where is she then?
She's right next to me.
Oh,
already?
Yes, I'm ready for her. We've been ready. I even played I Will Survive already.
Okay, here she is.
Hey, hi, Gloria.
Hello.
Hi.
Hiya, how are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, I was talking about that you're doing a show on the road, and I already played I Will Survive, so people, you know, are up on of course, knowing you just from that song alone, and I already recited what's on your on the Best of Gloria Gaynor Millennium Collection. So anyway, but that's old news. So give us new news.
Well, new news is that this is the 30th anniversary of I Will Survive, and I'm touring, commemorating the song, and doing a commemorative release of a new recording of I Will Survive, along with another song that's also entitled I Will Survive, completely different song. It's a gospel song, because I'm thinking, I've been telling people for 30 years I will survive, and I never told them how. So this song tells them how I survive and how they can survive as well.
Oh, great. And is that the song, He Gave Me Life? Is that the one?
That's the one.
Okay, which I'll play later. But and why this particular song, or why, what's the gospel all about?
It tells how I survive, and you know, the foundation for my life, and how that can be anyone's foundation, and how they can survive as well.
Okay, how do you see it? What got you through all these years, or got you, you know?
What's gotten me through is my faith in a faithful God.
Okay, it's interesting. You know, it's funny because a coincidence, because I was on the phone. Clifton Davis had called in, and he's in a show that they're touring that called The Greatest Love Story Ever Told, and it has to do with Joseph and Mary. And it's a comedy. And
oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's a very funny show.
Great.
So he's called in. And I guess, you know, we're into, it has to do with faith there also.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
So, other than He Gave Me Life, are there any other, like, songs, any brand new songs that we
I'm going to record this year an album of standards, jazz standards, and a gospel album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
they'll
be released probably within 6 months of each other.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because then we started to hear you disco.
Uh-huh.
And so where'd you go from disco to gospel? Or?
Well, actually, it's like going back to my roots. I mean, I started out singing jazz, so that's definitely going back to my roots.
Oh, okay.
But I grew up with gospel music, so that's another opportunity to go back to my roots.
That's fabulous. I'd like to hear, I'd like to hear when you do the jazz album. Because I like, you know, the voice sounds like, your voice sounds like it would be great for jazz.
I hope everybody else thinks the same.
So in the years that you were doing, like, the disco scene or how did you enjoy that as much, or?
Well, yeah, I enjoyed it because I love to sing. Whatever I'm singing, I love to sing, and I don't sing songs that I don't like.
Uh-huh.
So I love singing. I love performing. When I'm on the stage, all is right with the world. So it's been a wonderful life to be able to do. You know, it's what everyone else on this planet hopes that they can do with their life, and that is to make their living and make their way through life doing exactly what they enjoy doing. I've had that wonderful opportunity, so it's been a wonderful life, and it's been extremely enjoyable. And something, like I say, that is a dream for most people. Most people don't get this wonderful opportunity.
No, they don't. People usually get stuck in a job that, you know, just to pay the bills.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's not really what they want to do. But, I tell people that do that, take up a hobby and just make believe that the hobby is the one you're getting paid for.
Right.
And the job and the job itself is the opposite.
Right. It's like Denzel Washington says, do what you have to do so that you can do what you want to do.
That's it. Yeah, that's really it. So, now when you, after the disco scene, like, I mean, did you
I mean, after that kind of died down, did you just like, did people like just enjoy listening to it anyway?
Well, yeah. I mean, when disco music sort of died down here in the United States, and as a matter of fact, I don't think it ever really died. I think it just went underground here in the United States, but it was alive and well and living in the hearts of music lovers around the world. So I just started traveling the world.
Oh, you
and
did.
Disco music has taken me to more than 85 countries.
Wow, that's so great. And if you didn't do that, would you think you would have ever traveled like that?
Not like that. Probably not like that. I wasn't as interested in traveling as I was in sharing my talent with the world. And the only way I was going to do that was to travel. And then, of course, once I started traveling, I enjoyed being able to experience and learn the cultures of other countries and have friends around the world and experience everything about those places that I possibly could. So, you know, it became not only a part of what I do, but what I enjoy doing.
Was there any place you visited that to say, wow, if I'd known this, I would have traveled here before or something, or any?
Well, yeah, one place in particular was Lebanon. I thoroughly enjoyed that because not only is it completely different from the United States, but the people were, I mean, it was in the middle of the war, and the people were so optimistic and so hospitable. It was mind-boggling.
Well, that's great. But did you find, I'm very curious, having, traveling the world, and you're singing in English, and do people still, get it anyway?
Yeah, they do. I've had a lot of people tell me that they learn English by listening to my songs. And they learn this, they learn, especially when the lyrics are on the recording. You know, sometimes they put the lyrics on the jacket, on the sleeve of the record, and they've learned English, some phrases in English and learned to say some things in English because of those songs.
Well, that's great. Maybe we can get kids here to read just because of that.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? But you know, it's funny. With rap, when I would hear rap, I would say to myself, they probably fail in school in English, but somehow they can keep rhyming right off the top
exactly.
of their head.
Exactly. It's been a puzzle to me as well.
Now, where you're off to Miami or you're in Miami?
I'm in Miami right now, we are here for a few more days. I go home for about a week, during which time I'll be preparing to go to Europe, to Spain and France and Casablanca and Sweden and Moscow.
Wow. And where's home? What state is home?
Home is New Jersey.
Oh, you're from New Jersey?
From New Jersey.
Oh, look at that. It's just across the border here from me in New York. As a matter of fact, Whitney Houston's from New Jersey, too.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
There's so much talent, so many well-known artists from New Jersey.
Yeah. By the way, you were doing a show here in New York, weren't you?
Yeah, I did a show in New York a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
But that was a private show. But from time to time I do shows in the New York area and some of the clubs and in New Jersey in Jay Pack and out on Long Island at the parks in summer. And matter of fact, I have a couple at the parks this summer.
Oh, so during the summer you might be back here, you mean?
I definitely will be back in New York, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm going to make sure that I come to see you perform.
Oh. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can just keep watching my website because on my website in the live dates section, there's my entire itinerary telling you where I am, the venue, and the date.
Great. Is it GloriaGaynor.com?
GloriaGaynor.com. What it is.
That's
it's
funny.
What is that?
I was saying on the radio, I said, in terms of your website, because I was looking, hunting around here on my desk, for your website, and I said, just probably go to GloriaGaynor.com. Anything is .com these days.
Absolutely.
Anybody ask me a question, I go to, whatever it is, .com, and you'll find it. So do you have somebody, a particular people that accompany you when you sing, or do you
you know, when
I have two bands here in the United States, one in New York and one in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
So according to what hemisphere I'm in, I use them. And then when I travel to Europe and places like that, I have several bands in Europe. I have one in Austria, one in Germany, one in Italy, one in Spain, one in London, and then I have also one in Argentina and one in Brazil.
Wow.
So I've got bands everywhere. They're just kind of stashed around the world.
So is that typical when a singer is like doing like, you know, traveling like that, that they're not necessarily taking their own little group on the road, but they, you know, have a band in their locations?
That's a very popular thing to do these days because, you know, people don't like to pay transatlantic airfares for a whole group.
Oh, right.
And all that. So it's a lot easier when the bands are already in the area where they're needed.
Uh-huh.
And it's good to have, like I do, these bands that you work with, the same ones all the time, because then they really know your music and rehearsal isn't a long, drawn out, tedious process. You go in and you go over the thing that you plan to perform and do it. You know, it's easy and it's great, and you know each other, and it's comfortable, and it gives you an opportunity to just relax and have fun doing the show. And when you're having fun, the audience is having fun.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's great to hear. So, but you're not entertaining tonight, are you?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure I'm not taking away from, or it's like 5 minutes before showtime.
I have family in Miami, so tonight I'm visiting family. I'm on my way now.
Oh, that's great. As a matter of fact, though, come to think, where is the show in Miami, by the way?
Show in Miami is at the Zip Opera House.
Okay, the Zip Opera House. I have I work with the women's football team. I don't know if you know.
Uh-huh.
Women's tackle football team and all.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
As a matter of fact, down there is a team in Miami, and mm-hmm. and the owner of the New York Sharks lives in Miami.
Uh huh.
I'll send her off to see your show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to check out on your website. I definitely, as I said, I want to get to see your show. And by the way, I was telling people when I hear the song "I Will Survive," the thing that comes to my mind is from the movie In and Out.
Uh huh. Oh yeah.
It was.
With Kevin,
Kevin Klein, because it was so funny, and I
mm-hmm.
think everybody remembers that particular scene and that song because the scene was so funny.
Yeah, it was.
But it just was, you know.
I know.
So
you're right.
So I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
And feel free, you know, like you know, if there's, you know, stuff coming up or whatever that you want to. Get a little PR about. Feel free to, you know, let us know,
mm-hmm.
and I'll always put in a slot for you on the,
wonderful.
On the radio.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Okay, and have a good show there, and have a safe trip to Europe. And,
thank you so much.
And make sure you come back so I can see the show.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. Right. Take care. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, so, and this is the song, "He Gave Me Life." I will. Just had Gloria Gaynor on.
I was listening and enjoying it.
Yeah, that was her new song. I guess the updated version of I Will Survive called He Gave Me Life. So
I guess at her age she's got to survive.
Yes, that's true. So let's go to Pasadena. So did you get any more information on Branson, of what you're doing or anything?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. I was just curious. I don't know. This is going to be a hoot.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, taking the show on the road.
Hey, look, if we have the same trio that we had in California, Branson will never be the same.
You're not kidding. So people will know what the hell we're talking about. Instead of just having a private conversation. When I went to Pasadena at Santa Clarita in Pasadena, it was a huge press trip.
Oh, yes, it was. It was one of the biggest miniature trips we have ever been on.
Right. And
three
the,
of us.
And yes, it was. The group was so large.
Well, I mean, it was so big, I had difficulty remembering the names of all the other writers.
Yes.
I mean, one made an early exit.
And the other one slept with you.
Yeah, right. My wife struggled to find out. Oh, it was my wife.
So, the thing I wanted to talk about was the Huntington. Well, we talk about the Huntington Library itself because we never saw it, though. But the gardens.
Well, we saw the gardens. The gardens.
Well, that's the gardens,
amazing.
But not the library.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and did you know the Chinese name for them was Lu Feng Yuan? No, I was not saying anything bad about your parents or your ancestry.
Okay.
it means the garden of flowing fragrance.
Oh, is that
and really? Really, that's what it was like. Everything. I'm not really into feng shui or anything like that, but I understand that that's what they did. They had some feng shui experts over there helping them lay it out. And it really did flow smoothly. When you came in, everything was like a smooth ripple across a lake.
Yeah. Come to think of it, it was. Yeah. Do you want to show us the pictures that you have?
Well, I'm a wordsmith. I can give you some word pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, they had rocks over there that looked as though they had been weathered through the ages, and we found out that the rocks that were lining the lake, and it's about a 1.5-acre lake, had been brought over by ship from China because that was the only place in the world that they could have rocks like that. And they brought over literally tens of thousands of tons of rocks to decorate the shore of the lake and around the gardens. It was absolutely fantastic. They had flowers and blooms that were native to China. They had the California oaks that were surrounding. So it was a melding of both cultures. The bridges across the water. When you walked across there, I think you had the same feeling I did. It was a feeling of just peace and serenity and what have you. With all the nonsense going on around us, that was a great place to be.
Oh, yeah. I could see hanging out and I don't know. Was it totally completed?
No, it won't be completed for several years yet.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to go up to about, I think, 12 acres. And there are a couple of years yet. They've got the tea house and the tea shop were completed, as you remember, because we sat there and relaxed. And some of the other buildings, I found it especially interesting around the lakefront. And the lake itself is a man-made lake, but what they did was they used an area that would flood every time there was a rain. So they took that area that was swampy and marshy and made it into an absolutely lovely lake.
And what was the bird that was there? The can't think of the name.
There were a couple of ducks, I believe they were.
But there was a swamp with a C, I don't know. I keep forgetting the name of that bird that was posing for us all the time.
Yeah, it was not Big Bird because Big Bird is yellow.
Yeah.
And this one was black, but I've never seen a bird that was a ham.
Oh, yes.
As soon as the cameras came up, this guy crooked his neck, spread his wings, and stood there looking at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I expected him to come over and say, hey, you know, you took the picture. How about some corn or something now?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's true.
You know, I know on other trips that we've been, such as when we were in Haiti, people would stop and pose for you at will, but the minute they heard the shutter click, the hands came out. They were expecting a couple of coins.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And here, you know, the duck just posed.
Yeah.
I kept expecting to get a bill from his agent in the mail, but it never came.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So,
what?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're playing Donald.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Is that Trump or duck?
Yeah, right.
Well, they're both not what they're quacked up to be, so.
Yeah. But the
tea house was not a gazebo, but there were several buildings around the lake where you could sit, and relax. They were carved. I don't know what kind of wood it was, but the carvings were absolutely exquisite. And my understanding, I think you got the same information, is that they were all hand carved.
Yeah.
You've got and the names of these things. You've got the Pavilion for Washing Away Thoughts, where they say flowing water can purify the mind. Fragrant mountains are good for quiet contemplation. Oh, I came back. It was like a mental enema. It was fantastic.
Yeah, you're right. But we didn't. Well, we kind of saw the Japanese gardens, but didn't really get down there. And that was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. And it was set in the middle of the botanical gardens. But I believe it was a Chinese garden and not a Japanese garden.
No, we were able just to stop and take a picture of the Japanese garden.
Yes, the other ones, the Japanese
right.
gardens, right. But the big one.
The big one is the Chinese garden.
The Huangyang.
Yeah.
That was
Lu Fang Wan.
L-I-U...
L-I-U-S-A-N-G...
G-U-A-Y-U-A-N.
Y-U-A-N, yeah.
Yep.
Thank God I have some notes in front of me, huh? as if I memorize these
well, that was like,
things,
that was
right?
Like, yeah, that was like the garden in Tel Aviv, the Yu Fang Sarun.
Oh, yeah, that was great. So let's talk about the rest of the trip. Well, hell with getting everybody else on to talk about
yeah.
it.
Oh, look, I mean, one of the big things that we saw there, and it was something I knew nothing about before we got there, and that was the Amgen bicycle race. I've never really been into bicycle racing. I watched the Tour de France when Lance Armstrong was in it, but that was about it. But this, I thought it was pretty exciting. It was a 6-day bike race, started in Burbank, I think, worked its way through California, through Santa Clarita, on the next to the last day, and then the last day into Pasadena. And, boy, were those crowds excited when they came in.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only downer was the rain, but you can't...
You're right.
You can't help the weather, and fortunately we were inside a tent.
Yeah. Thank goodness for that.
There were a lot of things. I mean, the interesting stories when we passed the Jet Propulsion Lab and finding out about the developments and the inventions that went on there... I forgot the house that we visited where the garage was the one used in the original Back to the Future.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah,
that was
where Michael J. Fox got blown away by his own guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot. What was the name of that place? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. I don't have the notes in front of me. I haven't written it up yet. That's how.
Yeah,
what
a pair of journalists.
That's what happens when you know when once I write the article, then at least I can go to my notes and say, like here it is or whatever. Yeah, we went to that. Wasn't it? And I keep forgetting. Sometimes I'm getting mixed up with where we went to in Santa Clarita. You know, it's but we went to there was that art place, that art museum.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that again?
Yeah, it was the art museum.
I'm so glad you called.
I know. But we were going to talk about the Chinese gardens, and now you've expanded.
Okay, let's go back to the Chinese gardens.
Well, we can go into Pasadena, what have you. I mean, the Rose Bowl was a very interesting area.
Oh, yeah.
Historic place. That's where they... They hold the big football game and the parades go over there. The thing that surprised me is, I guess after living in the New York area and seeing parades coming down Fifth Avenue or even in the suburban communities coming down through business districts, to see in Pasadena that it seemed that the parade was going through residential areas. And the museum you were trying to think of was the Norton Simon, I think.
Yeah, that's it. That's the Norton.
That was in Pasadena, I believe.
Yeah? Oh, wait.
And,
maybe
yeah,
I could find the... I think I might have, like, that list, the itinerary. The itinerary helps.
It was quite an interesting place, and there was a big, great variety of artwork there. I mean, some is not my style. I'm more of a... Not a modernist, but I guess what you would call me is a traditionalist. When I see things that look like a peacock threw up, I don't see that as art.
That's a great way of explaining it.
Well, you know, years ago.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah, I'm sure you get the same thing we do, that you get a lot of things in the mail that are sent in by public relations firms and what have you. And many years ago, I got a watercolor in the mail with a picture of the artist down in the lower left-hand corner and the artist's imprint on it. And people would come over, all my great art connoisseur friends, and I would put my hand over the artist's picture and signature and ask them, what do you think of this? And they would talk to me about the colors and the blending of the colors and the flow and the motion and the brilliance of it. And then they would ask me who did it, and I took my hand away, and it shut them up because it was painted by J. Fred Muggs, the monkey. I don't see it. I'm not a Picasso fan. I'm more of a Russell or Remington fan. The great early American artists who painted the cowboys and the Indians and the frontier scenes. I see pictures like that. They come alive to me. The colors are brilliant, and the artwork is brilliant. And it's not, you know, Picasso's picture of a woman with a triangular nose, breasts that look like they're, you know, running away from each other, and legs that nobody could walk on. You know, that's not art. You know, my 8-year-old grandson does the same thing.
So what else are we doing in Pasadena? I remember taking.
Well, yeah, we went to a very interesting shopping area or boutiques and what have you called One Colorado. And it was Colorado Boulevard. Yeah, that was a very relaxing place for a central urban area.
Yeah.
Because you were able to come in, and it was like almost a European type of setting with the square. It was completely enclosed.
Yeah, that square. Yeah, we had sushi over there. Yeah.
And the Chinese restaurant, yeah.
A Japanese
restaurant. Yeah. And, you know, the shops, it was just nice to wander. But even more than that, it was nice on a day where you're doing a lot of walking and what have you to have been able to sit down over there and relax.
Yeah.
Almost like a little Paris cafe area.
Yeah. That was, although we didn't have a chance to do that, we'll sit and relax.
Well, you know, these trips, they kind of run us around, but that's our job.
That's our job, yeah, to run and go around.
And do things, sure.
Where do we go on this... on this trip to
the one to Branson.
To Branson.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like parts of it are we're on our own, where we just, you know, get there and somehow meet or something. But
yeah. If you want to go back to Santa Clarita for a minute, we had a couple of things that were really interesting. I know the three of us went into the Glen Ivy Spa, which was one of the better spas I've ever been in.
Oh, that was nice. Yeah.
Oh, it was great. We came out. We really felt refreshed after that. And then that night we went to the wine tasting at...
All Corked Up.
That was the name of it. And that was I found very interesting, too, because they had the people there were having a good time. I didn't see anybody getting blitzed out by the wine. No, they were sipping
except
it.
Except for me.
I didn't want to say that.
Oh, yeah. But then I tell people, I get drunk on scotch tape, you know, but, rye bread is even worse.
It was good.
I hope this is going to sound good. I have to put me on speaker. Let's see. It's going to probably make a noise. Hold on. Okay, now I'm on. Okay, how bad is that? Does that work?
That was, I guess it's working. I can hear you now.
Okay. So let's talk again.
Okay, we went to other things. There was the cowboy actor's house that we went to.
Oh, yeah, Hart.
Yeah.
William Hart.
William S. Hart.
William S. Hart, yeah.
Yeah, I found that, I thought that was really interesting because you could see not only how he lived, but you could see, you know, the artwork that he collected, the old Western art, and the pictures of some of the famous other actors who had been there. But I think the view from up on the top there was absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, that was really great. I, I'm
I'm sorry we didn't get to the, what's it, that Wild West thing that...
Yeah, unfortunately that was closed when we got there. That's where they do a lot of the movie.
Yeah, that was really nice. Yeah, I have some pretty decent pictures of that downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to put some of the pictures on my own website into my gallery, so when we talk about places like this, so people listening to our conversation don't say, oh, I didn't get there. What the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah.
How beautiful it is. This way they can see some of the photos.
Well, I'll tell you, the name of the restaurant that we ate at, I went to Colorado, the Japanese restaurant, was Sushi Roku.
Oh, okay. Now, did you write it? So you're remembering this, or you're looking at the itinerary?
I've got a phenomenal memory.
You do?
Yeah, don't ask. It's my long-term memory. Don't ask me what happened this morning.
it's something like that, huh?
Yep.
That's good, because, like, you know, again, with me, if I don't write it, then... I kept a diary. That's the only way I can do it. So at the end of the day, I would just write about, you know, where we went and my reactions and stuff like that. That's the way I go home and I write.
Yeah. By the way, that place you were talking about that was closed is called Melody Ranch. And if I remember correctly, Gene Autry used to own it. And that's where they held a big cowboy festival and the HBO series that they had, which I never really watched because I didn't get into it. But it was Deadwood. It was kind of like a modern, you know, it was an old Western, but with more modern themes. And the interesting thing was when in Santa Clarita, when we came down the main street in Newhall, and they had the stars of all the old stars in the ground, like they do at the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Right. Only this.
And they had the stars of all the old famous actors who had been in the area.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I got a break for another sponsor. Can you hang on a minute?
Sure, go right
ahead. Okay. You're going to love this sponsor.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room. I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue. Based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
I knew you'd get a kick out of that, huh?
I guess you got a leg up on them with that one.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, though, this is, you know, they're not paying me for this or anything, but JetBlue is one of my favorite airlines. And the first time I ever flew them, Sandy and I were up at the Buffalo area, went over to Canada, and I had a pretty bad accident. I shouldn't tell you what happened, but I fell off a cannon.
Okay.
We have a tradition over the 42 years we're married that when we go on a trip, if we're at an old installation and there's a cannon there, she'll take a picture of me on it, around it, in front of it, or what have you. And I went to climb up on this cannon at Fort George, accidentally flipped over, landed on my heel, and jammed the knee on my right leg.
Right.
Crushed the bone. I won't go into the whole detail of it or anything, but we were supposed to leave. We were there with a group of writers, and we were supposed to leave on Sunday, late Sunday afternoon. The host called JetBlue. JetBlue immediately changed the flight schedule for us, put us out on the next plane. We got to the airport. They had somebody waiting for me at the curb with a wheelchair to help me in. They reserved the bulkhead seat so that I could stretch my leg out. We landed at Kennedy. They had somebody waiting for me again. Went to the curb. Sandy went to get the car. The girl refused to leave until Sandy got back, and I was safely in the car.
Wow.
And I was just really impressed because they didn't have to do that.
Right.
Yeah,
but I also favor JetBlue too. Otherwise, they wouldn't have thrown them on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good airline. I'm glad to see them doing well.
Yeah, me too. But I don't know how we're going. I have no idea how we're getting to Branson. Do you know what plane you're on? What airline you're on?
I'm flying out of Newark.
Oh, okay.
I'm flying on Northwest, which is in cahoots with Compass Airlines, which is in on the way back. It's in cahoots with I don't know, Ucrashm or something. it's a Northwest flight involved with some of their smaller offshoots. You know, it's not like Song with Delta, where they're both going dumpers, but. Northwest's pretty solid. I haven't flown them in a couple of years, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, it's funny. I just like when if I don't go AirTran or JetBlue, then it's like I take a deep breath and go, oh, I hope it'll be okay.
Yeah, you'll be all right. But we're flying out of Newark. You're flying out of what, LaGuardia or Kennedy?
LaGuardia or Kennedy, whichever they choose for me.
So I don't know if you're going to be on the same, we're not going to be on the same flight, obviously. You may not even be on the same airline.
Yeah.
We end up at the same place.
Yeah, we will. Maybe we'll even end up at the same hotel.
It could be. Could be. Should I bring my wife or leave her home?
they said there's about 30 people going on this
really?
Trip. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but I think a lot of the others are probably local because they said a bunch of them are going to be making their own way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know how many people will be coming from way out of town.
No idea.
Yeah, but that should be good. Oh, okay. Anyway, on my switchboard here, it says I have 2 minutes remaining. So anything you want to throw in before I cut you off?
Well, before you cut me off, I think the Santa Clarita area and the Pasadena area are two really underrated destinations. You know, it's not something that somebody gets up in the morning and says, hey, why don't we go on vacation to Santa Clarita or to Pasadena?
Right.
And I think they should consider it. There's plenty to do there. They're good family destinations. And if not family, they're good destinations for couples.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot to do. It's not the most expensive place around. You can moderate what your costs are going to be by where you're going to, what hotel you're going to stay in or where you're going to eat. Look, one night the three of us went out to Johnny Rockets.
I got to cut you now.
Okay.
Show's about to end. Got to
see you in a couple of weeks.
I'll call you on the phone.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.
Yes, thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Talk to you next week. Heck knows what I'm going to have next week. Hope everybody calls me. Come in here. Come in here. Say hello to everyone. Say goodbye to everyone. I know. You're the host of the show. I understand. I got it.